This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz back with you. Brandon, really appreciate you stepping in for Jeff Erickson this week. Man, we got a packed show coming your way over the next hour. We'll give you some updates on the FedEx St. Jude Classic round two underway right now down in Memphis. We got an update on Rashawn Slater. Not a positive update as it pertains to the LA Chargers. We'll talk through what we saw in the three preseason games last night, give you a betting preview for three more coming our way on the Friday slate. Our friend Eric Halterman from rotowire.com, he's going to join us around 2:30 p.m. Eastern to give out all of his favorite baseball plays. And we'll talk some college football win totals to round out the show. Brandon, again, great to be back with you. Glad you got the checkered shirt memo today.
Yeah, it's Friday, so I feel like it was pretty obvious. Didn't even check the email, just figure it's sitting there in my inbox. But you look great, by the way. Dapper gentleman hosting this show.
So do you, man. So do you. I thought about changing and I was like, you know what? Why not? Let's just match it up. At least they're different colors. I mentioned round two of the St. Jude ongoing as we speak. Tommy Fleetwood has jumped out to a 5-shot lead, still with a couple more holes to play. He is 7 under today, currently 14 under for the tournament. So 5 shots ahead of Colin Morikawa. He's at 9 under in the clubhouse at 5 under for round two. Akshay Bhatia, who had a great round one, currently 1 under through 9. He also at 9 under for the tournament. So still some opportunity for Bhatia on the back nine. Kurt Kitayama is at 8 under. Andrew Novak at 8 under. Scottie Scheffler at 7 under. 4 under for the day. Still 3 more holes to go for Scotty. Brandon, I mentioned Rashawn Slater. You know, the injury happened yesterday afternoon. We talked a little bit about it in the immediate aftermath. Didn't look great. And in the time since, we now have confirmation, a torn patellar tendon for Rashawn Slater. This, of course, happening at practice yesterday. He'll undergo surgery, but the Chargers have already told us he will miss the entire 2025 season. A massive, massive blow for a team with high hopes this season.
Huge. This is easily a top 3 rated offensive tackle in the league. The best thing that I can say about it, at least it happened right now. I think it's a lot tougher to overcome this sort of injury in the middle of the season. They now have time to shift Joe Alt to the other side of the line, let things play themselves out a little bit in training camp and in the preseason. So, you know, if you're going to spin this optimistically, I think timing wise, it wasn't the worst thing that could happen. And then we now see how the offense develops from what expect quicker passes. Hope that somebody steps up on the offensive line, maybe roll Justin Herbert out to the right a little more often, but nobody's going to replace Rashawn Slater. That's just not possible.
Well, I mean, you have last year's first round pick in Joe Alt, who I would assume will probably slide over to left tackle. You can backfill this. And I think you're right. I mean, it's brutal. It's brutal on one hand for an injury like this to happen before you even get to week one, right? It's like, man, we never even had a chance to see what this looks like, you know, with a fully formed offensive line. But you're right, it does grant you at least some time to try to reconfigure. And I think if you're spinning this forward, I mean, Rashawn Slater just signed an extension. He's not going anywhere. I guess you would rather this happen in early August than like week four from a recovery perspective, as far as getting him back on the field to start next season. Let's talk about what we saw last night in the preseason, Brandon. I mean, nobody was more fired up than me for real football back on our televisions. I was immediately reminded that it is indeed the preseason. It's like a reasonable facsimile of NFL football, at least for a couple possessions. But man, all three of these games sailed over, way over the totals. All three underdogs ended up covering. We had two outright wins by underdogs in Baltimore and Philly. We, of course, had a tie 23-23 between the Raiders and the Seahawks in the late window. Had some nice bets that came through for us. Bengals passing touchdown on the first drive. You know, got to see Ja'Marr Chase break loose. We got to see another one to Tanner Hudson on those two drives for Joe Burrow. We like Seattle over 100 rushing yards as a team. They were looking pretty frisky with Jalen Milroe providing some of that. But we need to start with the first game, Brandon. Colts Ravens. It's maybe the biggest story in the preseason as far as, you know, who's going to start for this team. It feels like the stakes are higher than they are for Cleveland or they are for the New Orleans Saints, just because of the level of talent on this Colts team, specifically at the skill positions around the quarterback. But man, Anthony Richardson, look, if you're watching the show, you've seen the clip, absolutely leveled. Only ended up taking 6 official snaps. You've probably seen the still photo of the pinky. Did not look like it was bending in the right direction, but x-rays did come back clean, just a dislocation for Anthony Richardson.
And they need him, because one of my biggest takeaways last night had nothing to do with Anthony Richardson's pinky facing in a direction your pinky is not supposed to face. It was that Daniel Jones was terrible. He looked so bad. Terrible. I think he's gotten worse. So they need him out there. You are spot on, by the way, in saying, hey, here we are. We're excited for the start of this game. And then you are reminded of how bad preseason football is in about 90 seconds. It takes no time at all. So grain of salt, all of this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you on a sports betting network not to bet the preseason. Do what you want, but be very careful with what you wager on. And like I did yesterday, I just parlayed a couple of underdogs on the money line. Would have really came through on that had the Seattle Seahawks been able to finish it off. They wind up tying, but still cashed the ticket at 2-1. Chase Daniel, though, if you're going to go back to the Anthony Richardson thing, former NFL quarterback, I think he did a really good job highlighting this on Twitter. Taking that sack was completely on Anthony Richardson, and it shows his lack of development as a quarterback with any level of awareness. He was left exposed and just sat there in the pocket. He had a wide receiver to the right. He had a dump off that he could have hit a running back for as well. And instead, he holds the ball and boom, he gets crunched. And this is now a consistent theme for Anthony Richardson. This guy gets hurt all the time. And this goes back to college. He got injured at Florida while doing a TikTok dance. And I'm not making that up.
Well, I mean, who among us, Brandon, has not been injured filming a TikTok? I think we could extend a little grace to Anthony Richardson there. You're right about Daniel Jones. He had one really nice throw where he was rolling left, hit A.D. Mitchell over the middle. Other than that, just not impressive. 10 of 21, 144 yards for Daniel Jones. Obviously came into this game earlier than the Colts anticipated. And by the way, nobody is tracking the take the first snap for the Colts market more than prop points in this world. That market is now off the board over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. So we will see if Anthony Richardson ends up being cleared to take the field for preseason game number 2 against the Green Bay Packers next week. Folks, did you know that rotowire.com has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using our draft assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the draft plan creator, or testing scenarios with our powerful draft simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence this season. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Go over to rotowire.com, put in the promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N. You put that in at checkout, you get 15% off anything we offer over at RotoWire. RotoWire.com, use that promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N. All right, we had some highlights in the Bengals-Eagles game, Brandon. Joe Burrow, like we said, played the first 2 drives. He goes 9 of 10 passing, 2 touchdown passes, 1 to Jamar Chase, 1 to Tanner Hudson. I mean, Jamar Chase already looking like he's in midseason form, just running away from defenders. We could talk some Tanner McKee in a second because he looked great. You know, we did catch a glimpse of him late last season in week 17 and 18. But the Bengals defense, man, I mean, not only are you getting carved up by the Eagles backup quarterback, but some of those running lanes early in this game. I mean, the Bengals first teamers played a couple of series. I think we already had concerns, but my goodness, they did nothing to lessen those last night.
And here I was thinking I was playing a sharp side and taking the Bengals first half. Should have shrunk that down to the first quarter. They had a 7-point lead after the first 15 minutes. And then it all went awry after that because this defense is terrible. I'm not worried about the offense. Okay, it's great that the Bengals want to get off to a hot start. Joe Burrow had played 15 preseason snaps prior to last night. He already matched that total. The offense looks great. You said midseason form, spot on. Those are not where the question marks reside for this team, though. The defense is a disaster. Tanner McKee looked like Joe Montana last night, 20 of 25, 252 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's not going to cut it. And if you're a Bengals fan, you should be pounding on the door of that front office saying, can you please just pay Trey Hendrickson? We will give you, do you want to start a GoFundMe? We'll help you out on this.
All right, we got to talk about the tie last night in the late window, Brandon. Raiders, Seahawks, Dan Carlson, 55-yard field goal blocked as time expired. So we get a tie, no overtime in the preseason. But I got a very simple question for you, Brandon, because all eyes were on Ashton Jeanty in this game. Three carries for minus 1 yard. Is Ashton Jeanty a bust?
I'm not going to panic over Ashton Jeanty and his lame stat line last night, because I wasn't in on Ashton Jeanty to begin with. I was called on him in the first place. I have been puzzled all offseason long as to why the fantasy community is in such a rush to draft the starting running back for the Las Vegas Raiders, a bad offensive line, a bad offense, and a running back who was running against Mountain West teams 8 months ago. I like the talent. Who doesn't? But to take him as a top 10 pick in fantasy football never made sense. So maybe this helps illuminate things for everybody else. I was never in on Jeanty at his price.
I don't think we could take much from this. You know, obviously some concerns perhaps about that Raiders O-line. I don't think it's anything against Jeanty himself. I mean, he had no chance on any of those three carries last night, but your general point stands. And one more fantasy note here. If you're tracking that Raiders wide receiver room, we only saw Geno Smith play one series, four snaps. Did not see Jack Betch, the second round pick, out there at all with Geno Smith. Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Dante Thornton, your three receivers who played those snaps. We'll turn our attention to Friday's preseason slate. Take a look ahead at the weekend as well. When we come back, more preseason talk coming your way as Prop Points return.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz back with you. It's Prop Points here on the sports betting network. Brandon, we have three more NFL preseason games coming our way tonight. We got a whole boatload coming on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll talk through some of the games that we will be keeping an eye on throughout the weekend. You know, as we mentioned last night, Brandon, a lot of high totals or high point totals, I should say, relative to the game total last night, 40, 46 and 61 combined points in those three games. And yet not seeing much of an adjustment in terms of totals for the weekend. Browns Panthers sitting at 33.5, Lions Falcons at 33.5, Commanders Patriots at 36.5. Before we dive in, by the way, I highly recommend you check out Steve McKinnon's article over on VSiN.com. A lot of preseason insights, betting trends from the last several years. Picked up a lot from that this week. So go check that out over at VSiN.com. I think we need to start with Browns Panthers, Brandon, because this is the only game in which we are told that we'll see starters on both sides. Starters, using that term lightly, of course, for the Cleveland Browns, because a lot to be decided for that team. But Dave Canales did say earlier this week, Bryce Young will get some time early in this one. We'll see Teteroa McMillan make his NFL debut. And of course, Shedeur Sanders getting the start for the Browns tonight. If you're curious, Brandon, Shedeur Sanders to throw a touchdown tonight, plus 105 at DraftKings.
There can be a lot of people on that. And I think he's going to play a while. So that's not a bad bet in my mind. He's got a lot to prove here. I think he's got a chance legitimately to win this job, not just tonight. That would be asking a lot. But this quarterback job it's not exactly set in stone. So I think the Browns would love if Shedeur Sanders showed out in this game and future games in the preseason and really established himself as the starting quarterback. The camp reports say that that's not going to happen, but Shedeur Sanders feels like the kind of guy that is much better when you put the lights on than he is in practice. So I'm curious to see what it looks like everybody else. I think ratings wise, this is going to do a number. I think other leagues are going to be embarrassed as to how much better a rating Browns Panthers preseason week one gets compared to some of their biggest events, but we're football obsessed and Shedeur Sanders is a huge story.
Yeah. I worry for that, you know, that Guardians White Sox game tonight, how that's going to compare to Panthers Browns. I actually kind of agree. I mean, I threw the Shedeur prop in there as somewhat of a joke, but I think he is going to play a ton, right? Like the Browns, as far as I'm aware, only have two active quarterbacks. Like they've already said Joe Flacco's not playing. Kenny Pickett's injured. Dylan Gabriel's injured. Deshaun Watson, obviously injured. I think it's just Shadur and Tyler Huntley. So I they're going to let him sling it. Maybe they do first half, second half, but you know, we know who Tyler Huntley is at this point, as opposed to Sanders. Commanders, Patriots, you know, I know our producer, Michael Cohen, could not be more excited for this game. We should see Drake May. We'll see Travion Henderson, a lot of the ones on the New England side. That will not be the case for the Commanders. Sam Hartman getting the start at quarterback for Washington. You know, I'm excited to see Drake May. I am significantly more excited to get our first glimpse at Travion Henderson.
That is the number one reason to watch this game. I find in general, the number one reason to watch the preseason. I don't watch the preseason with a betting lens. It doesn't teach me anything about what teams I want to be on come the start of the regular season. I look at the preseason as, hey, if you find an angle, go ahead and bet that specific angle, but also for fantasy football scouting purposes. And there's no more valuable scouting that can be done than that of rookie running backs, because you're going to get a good glimpse of what it looks like them running between the tackles in an NFL offense against NFL players, and the rookies pretty much always play. So we're going to get a look at that. And that is certainly at the top of the list, but how about this one? I'm going to go off the board here, Nick. Jalen Lane, wide receiver for the Commanders, a fourth round pick out of Virginia Tech. Apparently he's impressed early in camp. He's got blistering speed, and given the exit of Deami Brown, the issues with Terry McLaurin, things could open up for a wide receiver with the Washington Commanders. So if it's him or if it's somebody else, we could be looking at some real estate available. I would keep an eye on the wide receivers for the Washington Commanders for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think in the fantasy streets, Jacory Kroski-Merritt is also going to be, you'll be watched very closely by a lot of fantasy heads tonight. Technically the fifth running back right now in Washington, but a guy who's drawn a ton of rave reviews so far in camp. You know, kind of a unique story where he was ruled ineligible after just one game last year, fell to the seventh round. But I think there's real opportunity here. I'm not saying, you know, go take him with the 100th overall pick in your draft, but as far as being the fifth running back goes, I think that's a decent spot in Washington. When you look at the names ahead of him, like, are you fired up about Brian Robinson? Are you excited about Austin Eckler at this point in his career? Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez. This could very well be the 2025 version of Kamani Vidal, who, you know, I was taken late in a bunch of drafts last year, barely ended up seeing the field for the Chargers. But I think if Washington wants a difference maker type at running back, you know, not one of these retreads, I think there is a path at least to him ascending with a big preseason.
And I would say for anybody out there that likes to use the preseason for any sort of fantasy scouting, jot a note for yourself. If you see somebody you like, you don't have to draft the fifth string running back on the Washington Commanders or on any other team. But when things get weird in the middle of the season, all of a sudden it's week eight, you've got a $12 left of your fab budget, and you need to add somebody off the waiver wire. If you remember, hey, I saw that guy play in the preseason and he was pretty good, then it's somebody that you might want to invest in. So it's not just about your drafts. Mm-hmm. It's also about the way that you manage the waiver wire throughout the season.
All right, we'll talk about what we're looking for on the Saturday slate in just a moment. But a reminder, Circa Survivor, The Quest for $14.2 million is a 10-part documentary series following the drama, strategy, and heartbreak inside the world's largest legit football contest. Episodes are airing nightly at 9 p.m. Eastern through Saturday on the Visa Network. Then you can catch the final five episodes August 12th through August 16th, also premiering at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you missed an episode, you can catch up over at VSiN.com/survivor. And by the way, if you miss any episodes of Prop Points, you can download us in podcast form wherever you get your pods, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. I don't know if anybody's using Stitcher anymore, but wherever you get your podcast, just search Prop Points and you will find it. All right, Brandon, let's look at the Saturday slate, significantly larger slate. Texans, Vikings, certainly that's one that we'll be keeping an eye on. Don't expect to see, you know, a whole lot from the Texans ones in this one. Houston, by the way, on a 12-3 run to the under in its last 15 preseason games. But all eyes will be on J.J. McCarthy for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and I think we get to see Jordan Addison too, and then you won't be able to see him for the first 3 weeks of the season. He is cleared for the preseason activities, but he's going to miss the first 3 weeks because of what they have identified as the substance abuse policy. I'll be completely honest, Nick, when I saw the Jordan Addison news, I thought he had violated something else other than the driving incident, but it all goes back to that DUI. I digress. You are 100% correct. JJ McCarthy is the reason to watch this game between the Texans and the Vikings. He shined last year in the preseason. I was really impressed with what I saw from JJ McCarthy. Now, he has reportedly struggled in camp, but he also goes up against a Brian Flores-led defense every day. So maybe things lighten up for him a little bit. Very curious to see if he's able to back up what he did a year ago.
Yeah, Vikings currently 3-point home favorites against the Texans on Saturday. We should see starters on both sides, Brandon, in Chiefs-Cardinals. Chiefs 3-point road favorites there. Patrick Mahomes expected to play at least one series. Wouldn't expect more than that in the first quarter. Cardinals have told us they'll play some starters. So we'll see Kyler Murray. We'll get our first glimpse of year two Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. We got Jets-Packers. Justin Fields expected to play in the first quarter. Packers will play some starters as well. Did that last year. You know, I distinctly remember Jordan Love finding, I think it was Dontavian Wicks, for a long touchdown and then not seeing any more preseason action after that. But I mentioned that article on VSiN.com from Steve McAdam. Green Bay, 14-4 straight up and ATS in its last 18 preseason games at Lambeau Field. 13-3 straight up and ATS as a favorite since 2014. So if you're looking for a trend play, maybe take a look at the Green Bay Packers playing at home as 3-point favorites. Any other games, Brandon, on the Saturday slate? Any other players you're excited to get a look at?
I did just get a flashback to how in I was on Dontavian Wicks last season. So thank you for the reminder on that one. That one didn't exactly pan out. Jackson Dart, give me a little Dart. How about a Cam Scataboo? I want to watch the New York Football Giants. As far as quarterbacks go, I think Dart can play pretty freely because nobody is expecting him to steal the job from Russell Wilson to start the season. But a good performance can start planting some seeds. And I like Tyrone Tracy, but I don't think he's fine as he's got to be the bell cow throughout the course of the season. So Scataboo is somebody I've got my eye on as well.
Yeah, Scataboo's still dealing with the hamstring. I'm not sure if an official ruling has been made on his status, but does seem to be behind Tyrone Tracy right now in that backfield. And obviously, we'll see the debut of Cam Ward, Titans-Buccaneers on Saturday. Cam Ward will start and play, quote, a series or two, according to the Tennessee Titans. That's one where I'm looking to grab points with the Buccaneers. I do not trust this Titans team whatsoever. All right, we got to head to break. When we come back, we'll switch our focus to Major League Baseball. A lot of big series around Major League Baseball this weekend. Eric Halterman going to join the show with his best bets for the Friday slate. When we come back, you're watching Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Brandon Kravitz back with you. You're watching Prop Points here on the sports betting network. Big weekend coming up in Major League Baseball. We have Eric Halterman, our features editor, one of our baseball betting experts over at rotowire.com, joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Eric, intrigued to see what you have on your card for tonight. And I know you are eyeing up the first game of the night. That is Reds Pirates in Pittsburgh. Chase Burns on the hill for the Cincinnati Reds. They're a -126 favorite on the money line right now at DraftKings, going up against Mitch Keller. A couple plays for you in this one.
Yeah, and they're all relying on Chase Burns, who I still think is still the right word. I mean, he's only made 7 major league starts, but I still think that Chase Burns is going to be very good and probably is going to be very good very soon. And you might even make the case that Chase Burns is very good already, depending on how much you're willing to lean on the ERA estimators rather than his actual ERA. An actual ERA north of 6 so far. Of the 197 starters who have thrown at least 25 innings this season, Burns is 176th in ERA, but he's second in XFIP, one of the better ERA estimators out there. He's at 250 in that one. And that's because he's just striking out the whole world. A 36% strikeout rate is outstanding. His walk rate is a little high, but really not that bad at 9%. If you have top of the scale strikeout stuff, you can overcome some slight strikeout worries. Burns has hit his strikeout over, which is at 7.5, in 4 of his 7 starts. And really, you'd say it's 4 of his 6 starts, because his start last time out in that Speedway Classic that was a rain-filled disaster, he had to leave after just 1 inning. So in 4 of his 6 actual starts, Burns has hit his over here. The last 3 real starts, not counting that shortened one, he had 10 strikeouts. I'm pretty sure he's going to be able to get at least 8 against a Pirates team that is a classic Pirates offense the last few years. There's just not much there on this team. I think you could also go with the Reds money line in this one. I like Chase Burns, despite that high ERA, a lot more than I like Mitch Keller, who's fine, 3.89 ERA. The ERA estimator's in the low 4s. He's a guy who doesn't walk a ton of batters, doesn't miss a ton of bats either. Classic number 3-4 starter type. I think Chase Burns, even though the ERA is terrible, should be a much better pitcher than Mitch Keller, and may already be, again, depending on how much you're willing to trust those underlying numbers rather than the actual ERA.
Eric, it's not often you see the Yankees as home underdogs, but the Astros clearly have the pitching advantage tonight with Hunter Brown on the mound. Is that enough to make you want to back them here, or are you afraid of stepping into the hornet's nest of Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I would definitely take the Astros side of this game. I don't think you're getting nearly enough of a payout on the Yankees, given how much of a disadvantage they're at on the mound in this one. Hunter Brown for the Astros is excellent. He's up to 6th in the AL Cy Young odds, a 2.47 ERA on the year, a whip just under 1. He's striking out 30% of opposing batters, walking about 7.5%. He has taken the step forward to become a true ace, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Cam Schlittler on the mound for the Yankees. There's some potential there. He was a real prospect, but he wasn't an elite prospect, and he hasn't even really realized the prospect potential that he does have so far. 4 starts, it's a 4.58 ERA, a 1.68 whip. Strikeouts are a little bit better than league average, 24%, but he's really struggling with his control, a 13% walk rate. So a big advantage on the mound for the Astros. And then there's the question of just what exactly is this Yankees lineup right now? A lot of that comes down to, is Aaron Judge just himself again? He's back on the field after missing a little bit of time with elbow issues, but in his 2 games back, he's gone 1-for-7 with 3 strikeouts. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't look at a 2-game stretch from Aaron Judge and say, well, he only had 1 hit and 3 strikeouts, ring the alarm bells. But a guy just coming back from the IL with elbow concerns, if Aaron Judge is, you know, only 80% of himself, he's so good that that takes a massive dent out of the Yankees' projected offense. So you give them a big deficit on the mound and you take their best hitter and you're not sure exactly what he is, I'm not comfortable with the Yankees as home underdogs in this one. I think the money's pretty good on the Astros.
Eric, your team, the Philadelphia Phillies, head to Texas this weekend, taking on the Rangers. Rangers, of course, battling for wild card positioning in the AL. Phillies still hanging on to a 2.5 game lead in the NL East. We got Christopher Sanchez on the hill going up against Merrill Kelly. Sanchez, by the way, 13-1 to win the NL Cy Young, third in the odds behind only Paul Skeens and Zach Wheeler. Low total here, as you would expect, coming in at 7. I know you're passing on that, Eric. You're instead heading over to the Christopher Sanchez outs recorded market.
Yeah, although I should mention that total, even though it's low, is pretty interesting. Both pitchers are quite good in this one. Christopher Sanchez we'll get to in a minute, but Merrill Kelly himself earned a move to a contender, is having a very good year, which is the reason why I don't necessarily love the Phillies money line here, even though I am a big fan of Christopher Sanchez. I think the best bet in this one, though, is Christopher Sanchez to go over 18.5 outs. So basically just to record a single out in the 7th inning. He's done that in 6 straight starts and 9 of his last 10. So I don't really know what we're doing here. Christopher Sanchez has been elite this year. As you mentioned, he's up to 3rd in the NL Cy Young voting. And I didn't think he was a great bet a few weeks ago, but I could be talked into it now because of the talk about Paul Skeens maybe having some shortened outings down the stretch, and because of what seems like a minor shoulder scare for Zach Wheeler, an MRI didn't reveal anything too worrisome, but if Zach Wheeler needs to hit the IL briefly or is just not quite himself down the stretch, and if Skeens starts getting pulled out of games in the fourth inning throughout September, that does open up a path to Sanchez. You said 13-1. That doesn't seem bad to me. Sanchez has just been amazing this season. A 2.40 ERA, 1.07 WHIP. He's always been an elite ground ball guy. That's still there. But this year, he's also become a very good strikeout pitcher, a 26% strikeout rate. This is against a Rangers lineup that's right around league average over the past month, but in a park that's played very pitcher-friendly this season. Sanchez pretty much always goes into the seventh inning these days, and I see no reason for that to change tonight.
Yeah, Globe Life Field has been a house of horrors for not just opposing offenses, but for the Rangers as well. Let's turn to a big-time battle in the National League. The Brewers haven't lost yet in August. They have a pitching advantage tonight with Woodruff on the mound against the Mets. Should we continue to ride the Brew Crew wave, or is there another way to look at this?
Yeah, I like Nick's Brewers in this one, but I particularly like Brandon Woodruff to go over his outs prop. He's only being asked to go 17 and a half, so basically complete the sixth inning. Now, Brandon Woodruff is pitching for the first time in a year and a half. Shoulder issues cost him well over one season. He's only made it back for five starts, but he has reached 18 outs in four of those five starts. Now, he hasn't been asked to throw a single pitch in the seventh inning, but looks like the Brewers' plan is get six out of him, and I think they'll get six out of him again tonight. The Mets have had the worst offense by Team WRC Plus over the last 30 days, and Brandon Woodruff has not just come back and held his own. He's come back and been outstanding. 2.22 ERA, 0.64 WHIP. The strikeouts and walks, though, a 36% strikeout rate to go with a 4% walk rate. That all adds up to a 2.60 Sierra, which is nearly as good as that ERA, which suggests he shouldn't even regress all that much. I mean, we might forget just how good Brandon Woodruff was before he got hurt, but man, we're going to remember pretty soon because he looks like he's right back to being that guy.
Music to my ears, Eric. I appreciate the pandering to your host here. 21 wins in the last 25 games, baby, for these Milwaukee Brewers. All right, I know you have one more play on your card for the Friday slate, Eric. You're looking at Blue Jays Dodgers, Max Scherzer versus Clayton Kershaw. I mean, this would have been an unbelievable matchup in like 2012. What do you expect from these two pitchers tonight?
Yeah, I expect less than we would have got from them in like 2012, as you mentioned. There's been a lot of talk about their first meeting back when it was supposed to be, I believe it was Randy Johnson versus Greg Maddux, something like that. And both of those guys were unable to go, and they were both replaced by little known replacements, Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw. And look where they are now. I would take the Max Scherzer side of this matchup today, partially because the Blue Jays have been outstanding at the plate. Last 30 days, they have the best offense in baseball. They're hitting .310 as a team over the last month. I should double check that, but that's what the numbers seem to say. I didn't know anybody could hit over .300 in this millennia, but the Blue Jays are doing it right now. As for the two guys on the mound, Kershaw has the better ERA, but a lot of the underlying numbers say that Scherzer's having the better season. It's a .439 ERA for Scherzer, but 27% strikeout rate to go with a 5% walk rate in eight starts adds up to a .361 Sierra. Kershaw, on the other hand, the ERA down at .329, but Sierra all the way up at .459. The strikeouts just are not there. A 15% strikeout rate. He's getting it done, but I would trust Scherzer out of the two wily veterans today.
Great stuff from our guy, Eric Halterman. You can check out all of his work over at RotoWire. We're heading to break. Talk some college football win totals, our G-Bank best bets when we come back.
You're watching Prop Points on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz taking you up to the top of the hour. Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up next. As always, he's going to have Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Browns insider, joining the show with the latest updates from Cleveland. Browns, of course, playing their first preseason game tonight. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Matt Youmans. That's coming up at 4 p.m. and VSiN Primetime starting up at 7. All right, Brandon, we'll have our G-Bank best bets in just a moment to wrap things up. But we want to start by talking some college football. And folks, a reminder, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. College football season just around the corner. You can get previews of all 136 FBS teams. You get our preseason top 25, power ratings, betting systems, all the best bets from VSiN Sharpest Minds. Sign up now and you'll get both of our betting guides, college football and the NFL betting guide. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits, market insights over at VSiN.com, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to all the tools and data over at VSiN.com. You can start today for just $9.99, or if you want to save a little bit, get a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Brandon, I know you're itching to talk some college football. You got some plays for week one already in the holster. Hopefully we'll get to those in a bit. But I want to start with some win total talk. And I know you have three that you're eyeing up in your region of the country. So we'll start off with you. Tell me why Florida is going under 7.5 wins.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I didn't even realize that the three that I threw at you in our pre-show meet were all in the Southeast. But I tend to be a little bit provincial when it comes to my college football betting. I watch a lot of what goes on in this region, now in the Big 12 and certainly the SEC and then portions of the ACC. It's kind of funny that you pointed that out. But I'll start with the Florida Gators, under 7.5 wins. You can get it at minus 25 out there in the market. I really like their roster. I'm excited about DJ Lagway. He went unbeaten as a starter last year. I just don't know how they get past this schedule. They go to LSU. They go to Miami. They have Texas. They have Georgia. They have Ole Miss. They have Tennessee and potentially a revamped FSU. And I'm leaving some games off for time purposes. They have one of the toughest schedules in the sport. And the elephant in the room in all of this is that DJ Lagway gets nicked up a lot. Even heading into camp, he had a boot on his foot. He's out of it now. He's fine. But there's just reason to be concerned about betting an over here if you can't trust the health of the quarterback completely, and they need that quarterback if they're going to get anywhere close to this. I will say this, though, Nick. I think there are going to be several opportunities throughout the season to bet the Florida Gators in individual games. This is going to be a really good football team, and their record will probably have them undervalued about halfway through the season. But in terms of the total, I just can't see how they get to 8 wins this season.
All right, I'm going to throw one your way, Brandon. I wrote up a couple of these for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Again, you can go get that over at VSiN.com. Give me the Utah Utes, over 7.5 wins. The number swelled a little bit, now up to minus 135. They are 6-1 to win the conference, but I think this is a bounce-back season for Utah. That offense was, it was brutal last season, but there were also plenty of injuries. You know, the defense, despite also being banged up, you know, still played close to the level that you would expect from Kyle Whittingham, but they went to the portal. They got even better on defense. That was a team that allowed under 21 points per game last season. You know, we were talking with Tim Murray on the show yesterday. He's in on Devin Dampier as a dark horse Heisman candidate. You can get him around 50-60-1 right now. This is a guy who ran for over 1,000 yards, 19 touchdowns last year at New Mexico. You know, of course, some question about how he's going to perform as a passer, but I think he's going to bring a dimension to this Utah offense that we really didn't see last season. And three very winnable games to begin the year. You know, they'll be hefty favorites against UCLA. You get Cal Poly, you get Wyoming, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Kansas State, BYU. All those games on the schedule are at home. They do play Baylor. They do play Kansas on the road, but the Baylor game comes after a bye. No back-to-back road games the entire year, Brandon, for Utah. So give me that over 7.5 for the Utes. Sticking in the state of Florida, Brandon, as we go with our Southeast theme here, the Miami Hurricanes. So you're fading Florida. You're taking the under 7.5, but you like the over 9.5 on Miami plus 130.
It's funny the way this works, but this is the way that betting operates. I like Florida a lot better than I like Miami, but it's all situation dependent. It's all price dependent. You can get Miami over 9.5 wins at +130. Miami disappointed last year, and I think they downgraded at quarterback, going from Cam Ward to Carson Beck, but they still have a pretty damn good team. And things that you know you can rely on with Mario Cristobal teams is that they're going to be good in the trenches, specifically on the offensive line, and it's a great baseline for team success. They spent a ton of money in the offseason, top five in spending, top five in terms of their portal class. They're one of the only teams in the country that can say that they were top 25 in portal class rankings and high school rankings in back-to-back seasons. The translation there, this team is loaded with talent, and they get to play in the ACC as well. How about this, Nick? They don't leave the state of Florida until November. So another way to look at this is I think they're going to lose in week one against Notre Dame. If you just want to wait until that happens and then see if the number and the price adjusts, then maybe you can actually end up ahead of this thing, but they would have to lose that game. Otherwise, you're going to be behind the eight ball. So it depends on how you think that first week is going to go, but Miami has a very, very favorable schedule this season.
I'm going back to the Big 12. Brandon, and you know, I'm okay betting either of these teams 6-1 to win the conference. I think it might be the closest contested conference in America. I mean, you got 6-7 teams I think you could make a case for out in the Big 12, but give me Texas Tech over 8.5 wins. And I think this is a better team than Utah. The schedule not quite as friendly, coming off of an 8-win season. They needed to load up on defense. This is a defense that allowed 37, 59, 35, 41, 39 points in their five losses last season. They bring in the number two ranked transfer class. A lot of that talent coming in on the defensive side of the ball. It's a school that's starting to recruit better out of the high school ranks as well. Fourth in scoring last season in the nation. That's kind of what you expect from Texas Tech, going all the way back to the Graham Harrell days. They do bring back their starting quarterback, Baron Morton. You know, a bit of a question mark. He's somewhere between game manager and star, which is totally fine. I think if he plays within himself as he did last season, 27 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions, threw the ball over 460 times, I think you can live with that, and you bank on some internal progression. Now, they do get Utah, Arizona State, Kansas State, and Houston all on the road. That's the big differentiator between that schedule when you compare it to that of Utah. But again, I think this roster is a little bit better. I think they are, you know, at least a win better than Utah, but this is going to be a dogfight all season long in the Big 12. So give me Utah over 7.5. Give me Texas Tech over 8.5, getting that at -115. All right, real quickly, Brandon, you got one more for us. Georgia Tech over 7.5 wins. This one now -155.
I still like it, though. The Ramblin' Wreck has a chance to be really dangerous in a weakened ACC. I saw all I needed to see from Brent Key as a head coach, as he had the team ready to go in the opener in Ireland against Florida State. Then you go to that 8 overtime classic against Georgia. They lost the game, but they showed a lot of heart. These guys play hard, and they've got a bunch of returning players at key positions. Haynes King is a really good college quarterback. And to go back to the same reason I like Miami, the ACC usually presents a pretty light schedule for some of these teams. Road games include Boston College, Duke, NC State, and Wake Forest. I think Georgia Tech comfortably goes over.
It's time for our GBank Best Bets of the Night, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and Visa completes the trifecta with a free 6-month subscription to VSiN Pro. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank, to see all the details. This one-time promo is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Brandon, best bet time. What do you got for us?
All right, I'm going to go Spencer Torkelson over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI. He's gone past this in 7 of his last 10. Like the matchup for him. And then Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks over 1.5 total bases, playing a Rockies team that just allowed 63 hits to the Toronto Blue Jays. Who's cooling this guy down? Not the Rockies.
All right, I'm going to mix and match here. I'll give you a baseball play. Royals Twins under 8.5. Two good pitchers going at it tonight. Joe Ryan and Seth Lugo. Both these teams scuffling a bit offensively. Falcons team total over 13.5 tonight against the Lions. Give me Emory Jones. Give me Easton Stick. I don't care if Michael Penix isn't out there. Way too low of a number. That's going to wrap the Friday edition of Prop Points. Keep it here on VSiN. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming your way next.